for joining us. I'm Diane Rean.
Once in royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a
with Christmas only 22 days away, it's a treat to spend an hour listening and talking about music of the season. And what you hear right now is one of my favorite artists, Mary Chapin Carpenter, singing Once in Royal David City. It's the first track from her new album, her first recording of Christmas songs titled Come Darkness, Come Light, 12 Songs of Christmas.
A stable and his cradle was a star.
Mary Chapin, welcome back.
Thank you, Diane.
So glad to see you.
It's so nice to be here.
You know, I recognize that you and I share a Christmas Eve habit.
Listening to the broadcast
festival
from Cambridge.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The Festival of Lessons and Carols. Broadcast from Cambridge, England. It was a family tradition.
Is that right?
Always. The kids mm-hmm. and John and I mm-hmm. would gather together. And now our son in Gettysburg has it on as I have it on
right.
here. And always we are so interested in that first young boy soloist.
That first, when it comes across the air and you hear that high, bell-like, beautiful tone, it just sends shivers up your spine.
Absolutely. It's the making of Christmas, and it seems to me you have added to the making of Christmas with this album. Tell me why you decided to do this now.
Well, it's something that I've wanted to do for a very, very long time. Back when I first got signed to Columbia, more than 20 years ago, the first year I was there, they said, do a Christmas record. I mean, they just like, you know, all the artists do Christmas records. But what they wanted, and I understand why, but they wanted all the classic sort of First Noel, Jingle Bells, the very commercial, you know, well-known songs. And I love those songs as much as anybody, but I didn't think that the world needed another record of those carols by me. What I wanted to do was something a bit more creative, shall we say, or songs that perhaps weren't as well known, but that I loved. And so it took this long to sort of get myself in a place where I could do that.
But in addition, you've also written some songs of your own.
Yeah, that was part of the desire that I had to do this, was the challenge, or just the desire to address some more spiritual issues that I don't normally sort of get to, I think, in my writing. And it was to be able to write sort of to a theme was really neat. And I really loved making this record.
Tell me about the title song, Come Darkness, Come Light.
Well, as a matter of fact, that was a song that I wrote during the making of the record. I usually have all of my songs ready to go when we go into the studio, but this one, I wrote in the middle of the process.
Come darkness, come light. Come new star shining bright. Come love to this world tonight. Hallelujah. Come broken, come whole, come wounded in your soul, come any way that you know, alleluia. There's a humble stable and a light within, there's an angel angel hovering, three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Come doubting, come sure, come fearful to this door. Come see what love is for. Alleluia.
You've painted a picture.
I'm just sitting here listening. I'm listening to John Carroll's beautiful piano playing. Mm. He's such a treasure here in Washington. And it was really fun to make this record from the standpoint that there was only really three people involved. It was me, John Jennings, my co-producer, and John Carroll. And John Jennings played the majority of the instruments. John Carroll played the piano, and I got to sit and sing and enjoy it all.
Shed your heavy load. Alleluia. There's a humble stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering and three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Come darkness, come light. Come new star, shining bright. Come love to this world tonight. Alleluia.
Mary Chapin, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Just wonderful.
Thanks so much.
I want to, before we go on, I'd love to just sit here with you and listen to the whole album because it's so wonderful. I want to hear about your health problems, which more than a little surprised you.
Yes, the last time I was here, it was a year and a half ago, I think it was. I was promoting my new record, The Calling, and we were about to embark on a big tour for that summer. And actually, while I was here talking to you, I was in the middle of a short warm-up tour. And it was, I think, 2 weeks after that, I had a pulmonary embolism. And I was lucky enough to be home and lucky enough to get into the ER. And so it was a very terrifying kind of thing. But I'm here now and feeling really good and pretty happy about it.
What was that experience like for you? What happened?
It was terrifying, basically. I was in a terrible amount of pain, actually, leading up to it. And they're not sure, but maybe that was sort of the beginning of it. And my lungs, my chest hurt terribly. And I kept thinking I had acid reflux and I was downing all those Maalox stuff things. And it wasn't making a difference. And then it just finally, you know, took hold. So we figured out what it was.
How long were you in the hospital?
For about 5 days, I think.
And then at home?
Home, yeah. It was really hard. I had to, cancel everything.
Of course.
And that was, you know, my sort of work ethic, kicks in. And I was all frustrated about that and, not seeing the larger picture. But eventually I did.
Do you think that experience in any way perhaps led to your doing this album?
Well, certain aspects, the sort of the nuts and bolts of being home and having the time all of a sudden to slow down and think about what was coming next and what I might want to do next, that certainly had something to do with wanting to do this record. As far as on a spiritual level, I don't know how you can have that kind of experience and not come out come to the other side, make it to the other side, and not feel differently about who you are, what you do, how you do it, and what you want for the rest of your life.
So the bells are ringing.
In a manner of speaking, you could say that.
No doorways, no windows, no walls, no shelter here on the ground. No standing and no safe place to fall, just the promise of this distant sound. But bells are ringing all over the world. Bells are ringing, calling the light. Bells are ringing all over the world, all over the world tonight.
You wrote this after a trip you took to Bosnia.
A number of years ago, the first time I ever went on a USO trip with SecDef William Cohen and his wife. And it was just my guitar and me. And we went to Italy and Bosnia, and we were in Tuzla. And I had dinner and distributed gifts to orphans and sat in, with the servicemen and women in a Quonset hut on Christmas Eve. And it was a life-altering experience.
Bells are ringing all over the world. Bells are ringing, calling the light. Bells are ringing,
and we'll be right back.
All over the world. Bells are ringing all over the world. Bells are ringing, calling the light. Bells are ringing all over.
For those of you who've just joined us, Mary Chapin Carpenter, one of my all-time favorite musicians, is here in the studio with me. She, of course, is a winner of 5 Grammys. She writes many of her own songs, including some of the 12 songs of Christmas that are on her new album. It's titled Come Darkness, Come Light. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Mary Chapin, how come you went with the Secretary of the Defense to all these places?
Well, first of all, because they asked me to. it was one of those trips that didn't have... I didn't hesitate for a second. It was an honor to be a part of it. And it started a trend for the next few years. Every Christmas I would go overseas with the USO. So it was something that was deeply meaningful to me in hindsight. And certainly, you know, while I was there, it was unlike anything I'd ever done before as a musician and certainly just as a citizen.
How were you received by the military?
They're amazing. You're the Beatles wherever you go, no matter who you are. They make you feel so welcome. It's a tremendous opportunity to be able to do that.
Tell me about life on the farm.
Well, I was just going to say, you were holding up the CD. Those pictures All the artwork, all the photographs are our farm in the Blue Ridge. And on that particular day that I took those photos, there was a snowstorm. And so it was pretty special.
Gorgeous. And that blue in the background.
Yeah, it's a pretty special place. And when we get snow and you can see the weather coming from the west, and we're on a hill. And so it just comes right at us, and it's spectacular.
Three dogs?
Six now.
Six? Yeah. Mary Chapin.
I woke up to a few surprises this morning in the living room. And so sometimes there's a lot going on in our house, but we love those dogs, those animals. I have six cats and have a couple of horses.
What kinds of dogs?
I have three golden retrievers, and I have two combination platters, as I would call them.
Platters?
You know, just who knows?
Mixed,
wonderful, mixed, sweet things. And then we have a Norwich Terrier, whose name is Emma, and she rules the roost. She's the smallest one, and she's the boss.
So that's why I brought Maxie in this morning.
I'm so glad you did.
I knew you'd appreciate seeing him. There's a song here titled Christmas Carol, and it seems to involve more of your own personal memories of Christmas. Tell us about some of those.
Well, when I was growing up in New Jersey, it seemed to me, and to my sisters as well, that we had snowstorms all the time. And now it just seems like it's a very rare occasion that we get the kind of snowstorm where you're sort of forced to hunker down, not go anywhere, slow down, just kind of hang out. And I crave those kinds of days. And they just don't happen as often as they used to. I miss them.
I can remember a time when we had a snowstorm here in Washington before River Road was widened. My husband and I walked up.
Amazing, isn't it? When you think about that.
Amazing.
Lights hung with candy canes and bows. The earlier it gets each year, the scarcer is my Christmas cheer. I guess I just like taking these things slow. I really don't remember much of Christmases growing up, except the year the Beatles came to play. On my record player that came from Sears, that white album filled my ears in 1968 on Christmas Day. I haven't been to church since God knows when. I'm not someone who usually attends. Truth be told, there's just two wishes on my list every Christmas: peace on earth and a snowstorm now. In our time, it's hard enough to keep from crying when every bit of news just breaks your heart. The same old stories, same old songs, we dust them off when Christmas comes, but one day we just try to do our part. And round here winter seems to come, rain and mud, bits of sun. It's not exactly courier and ice. I don't mind cold if it brings snow. Alberta clippers come and go, but a dusting would make everything all right. Perhaps a Christmas Eve from long ago. Christmas Day with knee-high snow. It's something lost but not forgotten. I can't
candy hidden in a stocking that makes me every year wish it were so.
You know, Mary Chapin, you say in this song, I haven't been to church since God knows when. And yet, in the next breath, you say, I pray for peace. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in your heart, whether it has a religious, as in church, affiliation, is that connection with some spirit.
Absolutely. And I think that's what this record kind of puts forth, is that there's some very traditional carols that are on this record. Speak about the birth of a baby and sort of the formal aspects of Christianity. But whether or not that is what you believe in, or if that's part of your life or not, I think that there is a place for tradition and a place for a personal spirituality in all of this. And I'm very comfortable with that.
Even if the forecast is for rain, His peace will shine in me and you, from Bethlehem to Timbuktu. Even if the forecast is for rain,
we were talking earlier about your health, and I gather a stranger helped put things back in perspective for you.
How so?
Someone, a young person, who rang up your grocery.
Ah, I wasn't sure precisely what you're referring to, but now I know. Yeah, I wrote about it for... Well, actually, I wrote an essay, and it was submitted to This I Believe, one of NPR's programs. And in a nutshell, I was a few weeks out of the hospital, but I found myself just listless and depressed and feeling very lost and sort of really unable to kind of grasp what had happened. And one day I was at the grocery store and kind of going through my routine, kind of sleepwalking in a way. And the young man who rang up my groceries looked me right in the eye. And not that that would be any different from any other time, but maybe I was finally ready to look back, I guess. He looked me in the eye and he said, have a wonderful rest of your day. And for some reason, more than any other time, I felt like he was speaking directly to me. It wasn't robotic. It wasn't just, you know, the way you do it. And I went out into my car and I just started bawling. And it's just one of those sort of cathartic things. And it's hard to explain quickly, but it put things in perspective for me. And it helped to do that. And it felt like a hand that kind of reached out and kind of pulled me up at that moment.
Isn't it interesting how that can happen when we most need it?
And maybe when we most need it, that's when we're most open to it.
You're now writing a regular column for the Washington Times.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah, that came about very suddenly and quite unexpectedly. They asked me if I'd be interested in scribbling a few words for them every couple of weeks.
And, like what?
Well, initially they said, you know, if you could keep it close to, you know, talking about roots music and independent and alternative music. And I said, oh my God, I don't listen to that much music to be able to do something like that. And so it's, I've only done two so far. The second one comes out, I think, this week. But it's just a little bit of personal things, a little bit of politics, a little bit of pop culture, a little bit of music, just kind of whatever's floating through my brain at that time. And they've been lovely and very, very enthusiastic. And I've enjoyed doing it so far. It's definitely something quite different from songwriting.
Yeah.
It's very, very different.
Relying on sort of a different part of you well.
Yes.
Your awareness of what's going on politically. But you've always kept up with politics.
Well, I'm a news junkie,
absolutely.
I definitely like to keep
so up. So pulling from that as well as your own thoughts and opinions, have you got an editor?
I do. A wonderful guy, Daniel Wattenberg at the Washington Times. And
related, I'll bet, to Ben Wattenberg.
Perhaps. I don't know the answer to that.
I'll bet.
So it's just been really very fun to do. And just it's nice to have a sort of touch back to Washington because I don't live here anymore officially, but I feel like I'm a Washingtonian.
At 27 before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Before we open the phones, there's a carol here, Children, Go Where I Send Thee. Mm-hmm. And I gather that's one of your favorites.
It certainly is. I remember this carol when I was growing up. And our version is from the, it was Gene Ritchie, I believe, who collected these lyrics a long time ago.
Shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee one by one, one for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee two by two, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee three by three, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee four by four, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee five by five, five for the gospel preachers, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee six by six, six for the six that never got fixed, five for the gospel preachers, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem.
And when we come back, we'll open the phones for your questions for Mary Chapin Carpenter.
I'm going to send thee seven by seven, seven for the seven that never got to heaven, six for the six that never got fixed, five for the gospel preachers, 4 for the 4 that stood at the door, 3 for the Hebrew children, 2 for Paul and Silas, 1 for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee 8 by 8. 8 for the 8 that stood at the gate. 7 for the 7 that never got to heaven. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the gospel preachers. 4 for the 4 that stood at the door. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for Paul and Silas. And 1 for the little bitty baby who's born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee.
National broadcast of the Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, promoting lifelong family connections for children and youth, on the web at aecf.org. By the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. And by the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. This is NPR.
I've got your picture that you gave to me.
Roseanne Cash was 18 when her father, Johnny Cash, wrote a list of songs he thought she should know. On the Christmas Day edition of Fresh Air, we hear some of them and talk with Roseanne Cash. Her latest album is The List. Join us.
The only thing new, I've got your picture.
Welcome back. It's time to open the phones. Your questions and comments for Mary Chapin Carpenter. Her newest album, Come Darkness, Come Light, 12 Songs of Christmas. First to Indianapolis. Good morning, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, thanks, Diane. Mary, it's just so cool to hear you on the radio. And I'm a singer-songwriter, and I actually have done some of your music in the past. I really, really enjoy you,
and I
want you to know that it's not only, you know, you don't only touch individuals with your music, but there are people like me running around who listen to you and are inspired, and it's easy for me to let go sometimes of my music, and I just get really fired up listening to you.
Oh, thank
you. I really wanted to thank you for that and just tell you that I'm sure I appreciate you, and I love your story about the soldiers and hanging out with the soldiers and how that changed you, and it reminds me that I can, you know, we can take those kind of things and turn it into music, and you do such an amazing job.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you so much.
Just wonderful. Here's a question from Susan in Washington, D.C. She says, your album seems to be as much about solstice as Christmas, with references to nature, winter, and darkness. Mm-hmm. Is this something you intended?
Yes. There is a song, actually, I wanted very much to have a song about the solstice on this record, because I think that is very much a part of the holiday time for people. And there is something that is so powerful about the darkness, and all of a sudden we begin to get more light. And that song is called The Longest Night of the Year. I think we might be getting to it later.
We will get to it later. Here's an email from John who says, my collie is just lying there up on the couch and being very still and enjoying the gentle sounds of music.
I'm so glad.
Maxie is too.
That's right.
He's doing exactly that. Let's go to Laurie in West Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling for two reasons. First of all, I want to thank Mary Chapin for the song Jubilee. It was the hand that reached out and saved me when I was in a dark spot.
Thank you.
And it's always been wonderful for me. Good. And secondly, I just want to say how thrilled I am that you have the Bells Are Ringing song on this album. I heard you perform it in Chicago at a Landline concert in 2001.
Wonderful.
The last note you sang was dark melted chocolate that hung in the air forever and no one breathed. And even now it gives me chills.
Thank you
for recording it.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
There is another song here that could make your mouth water.
It could. Yes, indeed. It's a song that was written by the great, great Tommy Thompson of the Red Clay Ramblers. I learned this song from my dearest friends, Robin and Linda Williams, who live in the Shenandoah Valley just over the hill from us. And it's a song about a different side of Christmas that people sometimes feel.
When chimney smoke hangs still and low across the stubbled fields of snow, and angry skies reach down and seize the sorry blackened bones of trees, in the dead of winter when the silent snowbirds call, you're my sweet maple sugar honey, hot buttered rum. When dreary Christmas decorations line the streets and filling stations, and dime store Santas can't disguise their empty hands and empty eyes, in the dead of winter when the tinsel angels come, you're my sweet maple sugar honey, hot buttered rum.
I love this.
This is a beautiful song, and I knew I wanted to record it the very first time I heard Robin and Linda sing it. Red Clay Ramblers are storied acoustic bluegrass old-timey band out of North Carolina, and this song is very special. And I think that part of the thing I wanted to do with this record is, you know, Christmas isn't necessarily always the most cheerful time. It can be a difficult time for people, and wanted some songs to address that side of it too.
Bring cold comfort to the heart, and bitter memories freeze the tongue, and songs of love are left unsung in the dead of winter when the cold feelings come. You're my sweet maple sugar honey, hot buttered rum. In the dead of winter when the cold feelings come, sweet maple sugar honey, hot buttered rum. Mm-hmm.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, and that is a selection from her new album titled Come Darkness, Come Light, 12 Songs of Christmas. Robin in Cary, North Carolina, sends an email saying, lovely album. How nice to hear something other than the popular Christmas tunes. Please give us more information about when and where the Cambridge Christmas music can be heard that you and Ms. Carpenter spoke of at the opening of the show. Here in Washington, it is on the classical music public radio station, WETA, and it usually airs at 10 o'clock in the morning, live from Cambridge,
right.
10 until about 11:45 or so. Then they repeat it.
They rebroadcast
it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's on Christmas Eve morning, and then they rebroadcast it on Christmas Day as well.
I think if people go to their local public radio stations, they'll be able to find it, and certainly on the web.
Absolutely. Let's go now to Roanoke, Virginia. Hi there, Richard.
Oh, hello. A quick comment and question. I've spent many years on the operatic and classical vocal stages, and at the same time, I owned your cassettes and CDs. And as I tried to tell myself that I liked the high soprano voice, I confess I always wished that I could sing with someone like you.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, I'm blessed with an extraordinary warmth and character that it's indescribable, and thank you for putting it on tape.
Thank you, Richard. I truly appreciate it.
I have a quick question. Do I recall an interview with you years ago where you talked about going on the road and that you had just had a child and that you were a bit apprehensive about, you know, taking your family on the road, and if, in fact, you were talking about that and how that all worked out?
Well, as it happens, I've never had any children, but I do take my dogs on the road. So that probably wasn't me speaking.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's
okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Not a problem, Richard. Thanks for calling. And to Fort Worth, Texas. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Good morning, Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Good morning, Robert.
Diane Reams, how are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
I was driving around, and I was listening to to your interview, and you recalled growing up in New Jersey, where I was born and raised until 74, and then we moved to Houston. Mm-hmm. You recalled about the snowstorms during the winter in New Jersey, and then you played the music, and I started getting teary-eyed because living in Texas, it's just people have a hard time understanding this. I remember one Christmas Eve, I was walking, it was Christmas Eve, and the snow was falling, and it was so quiet and tranquil, and you could barely hear anything, and it was just, that memory is stuck in my mind for years and years, and I tried to tell my daughters about it, and I was thinking maybe one day we'll be able to go, I will go back to New Jersey to experience this, and even there are times I spent on a commune in Hackettstown, and it snowed. And the same thing is just something about the snow in Christmas time and the winter time. It's just it left a very special spot in my mind, in my heart, and about New Jersey.
I think times like the memories like that, they imprint themselves on you, and it's something you never forget. And I think it's hard to ever want it to be any other way.
You know, as we experience the ordinary and the extraordinary chaos in the world, thinking about the quiet of the snowfall is really so important to all of us.
Yeah, and I think that it certainly, in reflecting off of what you just said, I mean, it's as if there's an innocence and everything is brand new. And I don't think you feel that way too often in the day-to-day world.
There is a song that you referred to earlier, The Longest Night of the year. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So. Well, I did want to have a song specifically about the solstice on this record. And I looked and looked and looked. And in the end, I ended up writing this. It's about a lot of things. I think there's a few layers to this onion. But it starts with the idea of the light leaving and then returning again.
They say that spring will come again, but no one knows exactly when. Still the sun's a long-lost friend on the longest night of the year. We stare into the firelight while December beats outside, where the darkest hearts reside on the longest night of the year. So keep me safe and hold me tight, let the candle burn all night. Tomorrow, welcome back the light. It was the longest night of the year. Small, bright and shiny like a ball. Seems I don't know much at all on the longest night of the year. We press our faces to the glass and see our little lives go past. Wave to shadows that we cast on the longest night of the year. So keep me safe and hold me tight. Let the candle burn all night. Tomorrow, welcome back the light. It was the longest night of the year.
That longest night of the year means so much to how we feel about moving forward.
Yeah, and touching on, again, what you just said, I mean, this world of ours is in a terrible place. It's so tumultuous now. Things are so difficult in our country, and so much is happening, and it's hard to catch your breath. And you know, I sometimes you just need to stop and try to just feel a part of something much bigger than the difficulty that you feel faced with.
Here's an email from Paul in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He says, what a glorious sense of peace this Christmas music imparts to the listener. Ms. Chapin's voice, rich and clear like a well-played cello, has been a favorite of mine since her first appearance. Today's program is a lovely measure of grace following the recent news of the passing of Odetta, another glorious voice I first became aware of in a live performance in Ann Arbor, Michigan, when I was 17 years old. If I may ask, I find what your music has to say lyrically is as deeply affecting as your captivating melodies. How has the passing of years changed, if at all, your perspective on the poetry and lyrics you write?
My, what a email. I think it's safe to say that the original songs on this record, and certainly on the records that I've come to visit you to talk about in the last few years, those aren't things I would have written 25 years ago. It's hard to kind of step back from the songs and try to have a perspective on them. I'm so close to them, but it's just songs that are part of a life. You know, they certainly speak to everything that I've been through and everything that I feel and want and, you know, succeed and fail at.
And here is Christmas Time in the City.
In the pouring rain, paid my fare and I rode that train to the station under the avenue. Hit the air at the stroke of noon at the cross streets where I staked my claim. I played played in tune with the winter rain, collecting dimes and dollar bills while the noisy traffic played the fills. And it's Christmas time in the city when the air is filled with cheer and the storefronts look this pretty only once a year.
Mary Chapin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Diane.
Here. Always such a joy.
It's a joy for me, too.
Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
It was dressed up looking like a Christmas tree, blinking down on that busy street. When the crowd thinned out and the rain had quit, and my fingers felt cold and stiff, I took their money and I closed my case, and I headed back towards home again. And it's Christmas time in the city, when the air is filled with cheer, and the storefronts look this pretty only once a year.